SBS Radio.
SBS.
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 SBS Radio.
Sharad Rejra, welcome to SBS Radio.
Namaste. Thank you very much.
Now, you're wearing this lovely mark on your forehead. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, I've just been out to the Sri Durga temple with my friend Tim Watts. A very important day for, of course, the Hindu community, and a very important temple, which I've been to before many years ago. I wanted to go back, and at Tim's invitation, went out there today to pay my respects.
So, yes, it is Shivratri, and that's wonderful. Now, before I talk to you more about the Indian community in general, the elections are in the offing. Everybody's talking about similar things, I think, whether it's the Indian community or the wider community. I want to ask you about negative gearing, because that does impact a lot of people in the Indian community as well. Are you going to come out with something very concrete before the elections? And definitely, are you going to take away negative gearing?
So we already have a very concrete and very clear policy. Negative gearing will be reformed under a Labor government. We'll keep it, but we'll reform it. Two important points. Anybody who has already invested will be protected. Any houses or apartments that have been bought, there's no change to the arrangements. People have invested and made the decisions, and we respect those arrangements and keep them in place. Even if they own a house now and it's not negatively geared, they want to negatively gear it in the future because they already own it, it is grandfathered and protected under our policy. Secondly, going forward, what we say is we need to encourage more construction, more supply. So we will allow negative gearing for new properties, properties less than 12 months old that are freshly constructed. You can still get that tax concession going forward for new properties. So every investment already made, no change. And going forward, if you want to negatively gear something, you can, but just buy something new. Now, at the moment, 96% of negative gearing goes to existing houses. It doesn't actually help lift housing construction. So we need to just reform the system.
Considering that it's basically mums and dads that do invest in houses, are you going to disincentivize maybe the larger investors who have 30, 40 houses negatively geared?
Well, look, we've thought about all sorts of options where we design this policy, obviously. We've thought about caps, we've thought about different options, but the only one that really puts negative gearing to work for new construction is our policy. If you capped it and said, you know, two or three houses or one house or something, you're not really achieving the policy aim. So we think we've got a good balance with our negative gearing policy.
Sure. Let's talk about businesses and even small businesses, and a large proportion of the Indian community is involved in that sector. But there's a general idea about Labour Party that it's not very business friendly. A lot of people say that a lot of the policies are almost a distribution of wealth by stealth, and I'm quoting someone here. So is there something specific you would be announcing for businesses and small businesses in the lead up?
Well, again, we already have, and we have a lot of good business policies. I understand the perception about the Labor Party, but it's not an accurate perception. We want to grow the economy. We want people investing and employing. That's why we're in politics, to see people better off. So we would work very closely with business. A few quick policies to refer to. The Australian Investment Guarantee, upfront deduction for all investments over $20,000. So every business, big, medium or small, if they make an investment of $20,000 or more, they'll be able to write 20% off in the first year, over and above the existing depreciation. This is a big incentive to invest for business. Only the Labor Party offers this. The Liberals don't offer it. They have the instant asset write-off, which we support. But for bigger investments, so if you've got a business which is maybe medium-sized or even a smaller business, thinking about a big investment, might be $100,000, might be more, you can write 20% of that off in the first year as our policy. Only we go to the election offering that. Now, there are many other things we could talk about for business. Energy costs, very, very big issue for many businesses. But just even on that policy alone, we have a superior policy for business.
I have to ask you about the Adani coal mine, because we're talking about business. If there is a federal Labor government at the end of the elections that come through, would it be harder for Adani coal mine to go ahead?
Well, the Adani coal mine, in our view, must be treated like every other coal mine, or indeed every other development application. It must meet the environmental approvals. It must stack up on its own 2 feet without government subsidy. And that's our position. Now, we'll see exactly where it's up to if we do take office, where it's got to in the process. It's been a long time coming. We've been, with all due respect to Adani, we've been told many times it's about to start, it's about to start, it's about to start, and it doesn't start. But if it meets those criteria, that's what we ask, that it meets environmental approvals and no taxpayer funds. Now, every business would like a taxpayer subsidy, but that's not the way we operate.
So you would support it?
Well, it's got to meet those criteria, environmental standards, and if it doesn't stack up on its own 2 feet economically, we won't subsidise it. The government talks about spending billions of dollars on subsidies for coal. We don't support that. We support businesses complying with the rules, meeting the standards, and making their business case stack up, just like every other small business. Every business has to.
But the fact is that they've been on and off about it for about 10 years. What signal does it give to investors overseas about what the processes are in Australia?
Look, I think in fairness there's been problems on all sides in the Adani development. You know, there's been promises made. I accept that the regulatory process can be difficult. But look, we have an open regime to foreign investment. It's easier to invest in Australia than in many countries around the world. We welcome foreign investment. It's easier in Australia than many, many, many countries. Every country has foreign investment rules, but our rules aren't that hard to comply with by international standards.
Now I'll talk about the Indian community, because it's definitely the biggest migration cohort that's coming into Australia at this point in time. But what we're hearing from the new migrants especially is it's become much, much harder. The point system is tougher. The immigration rules are tougher. The number of immigrants coming in every year has reduced by a large margin. The English language testing, all of that has come in. So it's generally a lot harder for migrants. And probably what's hitting them most is that they have to wait for 4 years for any benefits at all from Centrelink or from the government. Is Labor going to do anything to help new migrants settle?
Can I tell you what I think the biggest problem facing new migrants is? It's not one that you raised directly. It is that this government is making people wait so long for citizenship. This is a scandal and a crisis. They haven't gone out and announced, you know, that we're going to make you wait longer for citizenship. They've just done it. Tim says it in his office. I see it in my office every day. People come and say, I filled in the forms, I've passed the test, I've done everything right, and I've been waiting 2-3 years. This is after the waiting period to become a citizen. Been waiting so long just to get my ceremony. The government has a go slow on citizenship approvals. Now, we won't abide by that. We'll fix that and say, if you've met the criteria, you've passed the test, you're a good Australian, you should become a citizen. And you should be able to do so expeditiously as is appropriate, not this long waiting list that people have to become a citizen. It's just it's unconscionable that we're making people wait so long to become an Australian citizen. People want to be good Australians and a citizen and a full Australian, and we've got them on the go slow as a country.
How would you fix that?
Well, it's partly a matter of resources, it's partly a matter of just government saying, how come we're going so slow? I mean, what we need to do is, when we come to office, is actually it's pretty hard from opposition to try and work out exactly what's caused this. The Auditor General did a report recently and found big delays. The incoming minister would take a very close view of what was necessary to try and really get the process working as it's intended.
It's interesting you say incoming minister, and I'll get to that in a minute, but my original question was about the new migrants, and that is also really, really important, especially because a large cohort is from India. I guess a new migrant needs most help when they first arrive in the country. But at this point in time, what's happening is they're getting almost no benefit at all. These are people who've been vetted, who've come through the skilled migration program, who can contribute to the country. But in those initial months of settlement, they're not getting any help. Do they have any hope at all from the Labor government?
Well, look, I think we need to listen to the community, talk to people about how the system's working if we do come to office. By and large, immigration policy is bipartisan. It should be, and we try to make it so that the total numbers don't change too much if the parties change. There is a clear understanding of the appropriate tests for English, etc. And there's sometimes changes, but by and large, it shouldn't be a matter of big argument between the parties, because it's too important for the country. One of the things we do well as a country is settle refugees. We provide much support for refugees, etc. We need to have a look at the skilled migration program. Of course, skilled migrants, as you would acknowledge, are a very different category of migrant. They come much more self-sufficient, much more prepared to work. They're skilled by definition. They come with a lot to offer. If there is more to do to just assess how we are going as a country in providing the necessary support to new migrants, I'm sure we as a government will consider that.
Because the bipartisanship, as you mentioned, the Labour Party went along with the coalition government to wait for the 4 years. So that waiting period has gone up from 2 to 4, which is really hurting the migrant community. And we've heard a lot of people, you know, quite upset about that. So would
on the waiting times?
The waiting time for getting a Centrelink benefit or any benefit from the government.
So this is very important. We actually improved that measure very substantially. We don't need to go through all the details, but the government was proposing big increases. The Liberals were proposing big increases in the waiting times from 1 year to 4 years, etc. We took the view that if we let the government negotiate with One Nation in the Senate, it would be a very bad outcome. People would be waiting too long. We negotiated those waiting times back down in many instances, from 4 years down to 3 years, in some cases no change. In some cases, keeping it exactly as it is when the government was proposing to taking it to 4 years. Big changes, which were negotiated between us and the government. If it wasn't for the Labor Party, those waiting times would be much longer, 4 years in every instance. We got them down to 3 years, 2 years, 1 year in most cases. That makes a big difference. So, yes, we voted with the government for some things, but not what the government wanted. The government wanted everything to wait 4 years. We negotiated that back down, and I still think that was the right decision, because if we left it, you know what One Nation's like, they would say, wait 10 years, wait forever, if they had their way. So it's better for us to be involved in that negotiation, not One Nation.
Sure. So the new migrant community, what can they look forward to in the next few months? Anything specifically to help them?
Well, we have some more announcements to make. We've made a number of announcements. Of course, Tony Burke's our relevant Minister for Multicultural Affairs and Citizenship. He's been talking to me about some ideas that he has, but I'll leave him to make those announcements. And it's not good for me to make announcements on behalf of colleagues, even though I write the checks. They write the policy and write the announcements. So. But look, multicultural communities and the subcontinental community and Indian community in particular should know that they have, in the Labor Party, a party which doesn't just tolerate or acknowledge or accept multiculturalism. We celebrate it. We embrace it. We love it. All of us. We think it's such an important part of what Australia's become. Australia would be poorer economically, but socially and culturally without strong migration, including from our Indian communities. You're right, the Indian community is now almost every year our largest source of migrants. It's something we embrace, we celebrate. We embrace it culturally. We also embrace it economically. I'm about to meet with Tim Watts with some business people with good links to India. Part of the problem is, in Australia, we've had a stop-start relationship with India over the years. You know, it starts to improve and then people forget about it. I think we can break that cycle now, mainly because of the Indian diaspora in Australia, who are here reminding the Australian government and the Indian government, hey, there are many Indian Australians now. We should be working more on the economy. We should be trading more. We should be investing more in each other's countries. I think this is the missing piece of the jigsaw puzzle that hasn't been there for the Australia-India relationship now. The people-to-people links are so much stronger. It's something we celebrate.
The other thing missing is the parliamentary representation from anyone of Indian origin. And in the last few elections, it's always been tokenism. It's almost like that there are people of Indian origin, candidates who come through, but they're on unwinnable seats that they have just no hope of even coming close to winning. How soon can we see an Indian origin candidate come from, you know, a safe seat, a safe Labor seat?
Well, how soon can we see an Indian Australian, another Indian Australian in Parliament, or an Australian of Indian heritage in Parliament? I hope on May 18, 2019, which I think will be Election Day, and I hope that person is Shireen Morris, our candidate in the seat of Deakin. It's not a safe Labor seat, but she can win it. And she can make it a safe Labor seat, I'm sure. It's a close seat, it's a marginal seat, it's a seat which has changed hands in the past. And I've been campaigning with her very strongly, as has Tim. She's a great candidate. I mean, it's not just because she's an Australian of Indian heritage. She is a wonderful person and would make a fantastic Member of Parliament. And we're very proud of her. And I think the entire community should be proud of her too.
Talking of the elections, how confident are you that the Labor Party will win?
Well, we don't take anything for granted. I walk down the street and people say Labor's going to win. I say thank you, but we've got a long way to go yet. We have to win every vote, every seat. We take nothing for granted. It's hard. You know, the government doesn't change very often in Australia. Labor's only won government three times since the war from opposition. This might be the fourth time, but it's a big mountain to climb. I think we can climb it, but we don't take it for granted.
All the news polls that we've seen, all the polling that's come through shows Labour ahead of the coalition, no doubt about that. But when it comes to preferred Prime Minister, Bill Shorten lags way, way behind. Are you absolutely confident that it'll be Bill Shorten leading the Labour Party come election time?
Oh, yes, absolutely. No question. It is absolutely locked in. He's been leader of the Labour Party for more than 5 years. That's a long time for a leader of the opposition, a long time. One of the things that I think we offer the Australian people is our stability, our unity. Bill is facing his third Prime Minister. I'm facing my third Treasurer. We've had four leaders of the Liberal Party in the Senate. I mean, you know, it's a revolving door over there. We on our side have taken a more mature, sensible approach. We've learnt the lessons of the past. We made mistakes in the past. Of course we did. Everybody makes mistakes, but you learn from them. You grow from them. We have. We've chose Bill. We stick with Bill. He'll be a good Prime Minister. Don't worry about the preferred Prime Minister. The Leader of the Opposition is hardly ever ahead in that. And if somebody becomes Prime Minister, even if they weren't preferred Prime Minister, they become Prime Minister, they tend to become preferred Prime Minister on Sunday after the election. It's just how it works. It's just, we don't worry too much about that.
No, he's been lagging way behind, I mean, initially even with Malcolm Turnbull and now with Scott Morrison. So hasn't the Labour Party ever even considered something like changing the leader to be able to have a better shot?
Well, Tony Abbott's not there. Malcolm Turnbull's not there. I mean, these guys were ahead of Bill Shorten. They're not there anymore. I'll stick with a man who's there, who's done a good job.
Very finally, any message you'd like to give to the Indian community?
Well, I personally have strong links with the Indian community in my own electorate of McMahon in Western Sydney, Pemulwuy, and Wentworthville, etc. Huge Indian communities, and I work very closely with them. We have Holi coming up on the 16th of March, I think it is, my annual Holi performance. But the Labor Party more generally regards ourselves as friends of the Indian community. We have great representative and people like Tim Watts, who is a very strong advocate for the Indian-Australian community. We hope that Shireen Morris joins him and our team after the election. In better and in deeper relationship with India will be an important priority for an incoming Shorten Labor government, and one that I look forward to being a part of.
Thank you very much for your time, Chris Bowen.
Great. Thanks for joining us. Thank you.
SBS.
This is SBS Radio.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.